A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. A reading that contains the Lord's Prayer, followed by teachings about persistence and asking. Let us listen together for God's word. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God bless this reading and hearing.
So I am a woodworker, and like most woodworkers I know, I like tools, right? I like big tools and little tools. I like tools made out of steel or brass or wood. I like hand tools and power tools. I like tools made in Canada, China, Mexico, the United States, wherever they're made. When it comes down to it, I just like tools. Most kinds of tools. The only kind of tool I don't really like, though, are fancy tools. I don't like fancy tools for the simple reason that when I get them, I'm afraid to use them. So for example, in a wood shop, you often use a square, right? It's a tool that allows you to make nice 90-degree lines and mark those out so that you can cut a piece of wood to the proper length. And a cheap plastic one is like $3, and you can get a nice aluminum one for maybe like $10. But then there's some really, really fancy ones that are $100 or more, made with the finest materials, and they have etching in them, and they're like a blend of like rosewood and brass and this and that, and they're 100% accurate. I mean, like to like the millionth of an inch. They are super, super accurate. They cost 10 times more than a good serviceable square would be. And about the first time you drop it on the concrete floor in your wood shop, it's no longer perfectly accurate anymore. Right? Too expensive, too precious, too risky to take it out and use it. So I don't like fancy tools, and I don't use them because it begs the question, what's the point of having a tool that I'm rarely going to use? Let's pray. Living God, you've given us so many tools, the tool of your word, the tool of worship, the tool of this time. Help us to use it today, not to hear my words, but to hear your words and nothing less. Amen. So the Lord's Prayer, we know the Lord's Prayer, right? We say it most Sundays around here, and most folks in most churches say that on most Sundays and other worship services too. And many people, even though those kids up here were kind of lying or being quiet, they know the Lord's Prayer too, I imagine. We know the Lord's Prayer, and we say it by heart. But I think it's also true that we often, myself included, we make the mistake of thinking that the Lord's Prayer is fancy, right? Sometimes we think it's fancy because it's mentioned not just in one gospel, but in two gospels, Mark and Luke. And if it's mentioned in two gospels, it's got to be super extra fancy, right? Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking it's fancy because Jesus himself gives us the words to pray, right? In Matthew 6 and in Luke 11, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. And then, which is very rare, we have the content, the actual content of one of Jesus' prayers. It's rare and it's wonderful and special, and we think it makes the Lord's Prayer fancy. One of the reasons we mistake the Lord's Prayer for being fancy is because the most often when we hear it, likely, it is being led by a person in a fancy robe, behind a fancy pulpit, in a fancy chancel, in a fancy sanctuary lined with fancy stained glass windows. And the optics of that, the liturgical context that we most often hear the Lord's Prayer are fancy, and so we think maybe the Lord's Prayer is fancy too. For these reasons, and I'm sure others as well, we mistake the Lord's Prayer for being fancy, and that's really too bad. Because what happens with fancy tools? Like in my wood shop, they stay protected in my tool cabinet and they never come out. And so it is with the Lord's Prayer. So often we put it into a silk-lined velvet bag and leave it on a velvet shelf underneath the gilded altar. And maybe if we're lucky, we take it out about once a week or so. Which begs the question, what's the point of having a tool if we're only rarely going to use it? So this morning, I'll be direct, and I will just assert two things right off the bat here. The Lord's Prayer is not fancy, and it is meant to be used all the time, every day, and pretty much all of life's circumstances. I think that's why Jesus gave us this tremendous gift. So let's dig a little deeper into the unfancy nature of the prayer. So Luke's version in particular is very sparse. And just listen to it from Luke. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. It's nice, fine, but you notice it's kind of stilted, sparse, even terse. The phrases do not naturally flow one into the next. And in the Lord's Prayer, the version that we say has been seriously modified to flow a little bit better, but even then, we can kind of notice that this prayer is not the finest poetry that the Bible has to offer, right? Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's beautiful poetry. And as good and wonderful and fine as the Lord's Prayer is, it is not wonderful poetry. So what we have in the Lord's Prayer is, it's not fancy. We have a tool that's meant to be taken out and used day after day, year after year, week after week, in all of life's circumstances. Right after the Lord's Prayer, we see that there's this series of illustrations that are really wordy and really complicated, but basically the whole point of that is, like, Jesus says, pray like this, and all those illustrations that come after it are just meant to say, you know, just pray persistently and consistently. Just every day, all the time, pray a lot, and when you pray, basically say this, Father, you're great. The kingdom of peace and justice is coming, so let's have hope. Give me food to eat today. Forgive me and help me to forgive others and protect me from difficult times. Simple, unfussy, unfancy, powerful and wonderful, but never fancy, and always a tool to be used, covered in sawdust, spattered with paint, and dented from 1,000 drops on the floor of the woodshop. Here's an illustration to close that illustrates, I think, how and why to use this wonderful tool of the Lord's Prayer. Many of you know, because we've been praying together for a while, about my father-in-law, who this past winter broke both hips, and he has long been suffering with Alzheimer's, a very advanced dementia. So in the winter time, I guess it was early January, he broke his second hip. So I went to see him at UVM Medical Center, and Baird 6, I think it was. And he, it was early evening, when it's common for folks with dementia to sundown, right? To get particularly agitated or disoriented. So there he was in an unfamiliar hospital bed in unfamiliar circumstances without his wife there to orient him. It's evening and he's sundowning and he's in some serious hip pain. He's agitated, he's confused, he's trying to get out of bed. Poor man just doesn't know what's happening. I felt so bad to see someone I love suffering like that. And in the moment, I felt like I had nothing to offer him. I couldn't heal his pain. I couldn't orient him. Usually, you know, in circumstances like this, and especially with suffering people, presence is the best tool that you have, just to be with people. But my very presence was stressing him out because he didn't know who I was and why I was trying to talk to him. So I didn't have that tool. So I just sat there for a while, suffering with the suffering. And I was reminded of some learning back in my preparation for ordination about how folks with dementia, long after they have forgotten most things in their life, there's something about hymns and religious rituals like communion or baptism or particular prayers that get so far into us, like I was talking about with the kids, way beyond the head into the heart memory, that we can remember those things long after we can remember almost nothing else. So I was reminded of that, and I said, okay, I'm just going to say the Lord's Prayer. So I grabbed his hand, and I put my other hand on his forehead, and I said, Dad, do you want to say the Lord's Prayer together? And without even opening his eyes, he just said so sweetly, as he always is, yeah, I would really like that. So there in this unfancy hospital room with equipment beeping and medical staff in and out and a one-on-one caregiver right at the end of the bed, I just began. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now there's a risk in sermon illustrations to exaggerate things to make the preacher's point, but I assure you that that's not the case here, that as I began saying the Lord's Prayer, his whole body, his whole being just quieted down. He wasn't agitated or confused. He stopped trying to get out of bed, and he just settled in. And he started to say with me, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we got done with that prayer, he was just in a different place, right? So I kissed him on the forehead, and I slowly backed out of the room, making sure not to break the spell of that powerful and healing Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. It's powerful, it's wonderful, it's healing, but it's never fancy. And it's always a tool for us to use, whatever this life throws at us. So let's not just talk about using it, let's use it, right? Please pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.